Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Shout out to all the underdogs listening both in Harlem, in New York City, and around the world. It's time for us to do what we do every week, and that's explore how underdogs get their swagger back in today's society and culture. And we do it from all the angles, the unavoidable, the underreported, the underrated, the unbelievable, and there's always some unbelievable stuff going on, the unsaid, the unconventional, you know, underdog stuff. Each week, topics inspired by our personal lives, inspired by current events, some old events, some turnarounds, some ones that work, and, you know, even the ones that maybe didn't work out so well, there's something to be learned in that too. And I know folks enjoy this too. We also get into a pinch of politics. With that, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, to take you on that journey. Content creator, certified coach, business consultant, and overall into spreading special stuff. As always, the show will go through a couple different segments. We'll likely get into some unavoidable news. We'll likely get into some swagger back commandments and under the week. And as always, we'll end the show with an underdog spotlight. Today's episode 87, and I think we're going to call it, I Wish I Was a Kid Again. Maybe not. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. We'll talk about it. I will start here, though. You ever have a plan? Working on your plan about how everything's going to go in whatever it is, right? You wrote a little note to yourself, got a little outline. Got a script you're going to follow. You know, you got like a program, kind of like, for those who may have watched Aretha Franklin's Homegoing, there was a program and there were scheduled guests and they had certain time limits. There was a plan. Sometimes we got plans. And my mom often would remind me, speaking of, I wish I was a kid again. When I was a kid, my mom and dad always had a bunch of sayings. Every time they say something to me, there'd be like a saying attached to it. And one of my mom's favorite sayings that I always remember, she goes, we make plans and God laughs. God, we make plans, God laughs. Well, I had a plan this week. I always have a plan coming into a show. I start preparing for the show like around Tuesday, Wednesday, starting to get my thoughts together about what the theme's gonna be. Start figuring out some news stories, start figuring out some personal stories, start getting some feedback from you, the listeners, and pull together, hopefully, a special delivery of underdog stuff. And like every week, I had a plan going into today. And the actual original title of the show was going to be Stop Kidding Around, which is actually one of the Swaggerback Commandments. And this whole idea of there's things that happen to us when we're younger that we get to unlearn when we're older. And that's part of us rediscovering our special stuff, getting our swag back. And Saturdays are my stretch run, the final leg of show prep, making sure I'm ready to go on Sunday at noon, Eastern Standard Time at WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. And so yesterday, I am about to unwind a little, take a work break. It's a beautiful summer day. And I figured, hey, I'm going to go for a bike ride. One of the things I loved as a kid, talking about wish I was a kid again, or maybe not, maybe so, I love riding my bike. It felt like an escape for me. Just me, my bike, the road. The sun, the wind, just zone out. Pretend I'm in the Tour de France, racing through the mountains of France. And at that point as a kid, I had actually never been to France and not quite sure what it even looked like. And I'm sure it didn't look like the streets of Philadelphia, but I was a kid. Kids have imagination. We lose it sometimes when we grow up, but back then I had it for sure. Love riding my bike. And so I went for a bike ride yesterday. And I just got this bike last summer, actually. Shout out to Brandel Randolph, the owner of 1854 Cycling Company. They make bikes with the mission of actually making sure the bikes are manufactured by folks who are formerly incarcerated and helping them get back on their feet. And it was an opportunity for me to support a good brother and a good cause. So I bought my bike last summer. I hadn't had a bike in decades. Rode it a little bit at the end of last summer. And then this summer, I've been riding it a little more. And I'm like, I'm going to take a ride yesterday before I get back to planning the show. Nice out. So I go for a ride down the West Side Highway. For those who may not be from or been to the New York area, it's a pathway called the Greenway, which is made specifically for pedestrians, for runners, for bikers to go up and down the west side of Manhattan. Beautiful views of the Hudson River, benches, grass. It's awesome. So I ride from Harlem heading south along the Hudson. It's a good time. Beautiful out. And then I said, I'm going to do a quick loop. So instead of going back the same way I went, I was like, oh, I'll do something different. I'll go back north in the streets of Manhattan, go up a street called Amsterdam. And I'm riding my bike, and I'm back up into the 90s, about to get into the 100s, which is where I live in Harlem. And as I'm about to cross an intersection, I see the light is turning yellow. So I'm about to go through the intersection because I'm assuming that oncoming traffic from the other side of the street is going to stop and I can just, you know, cross the street and keep on biking uptown, enjoying my Sunday afternoon. And then all of a sudden, as I'm about to accelerate through the intersection, as the light is about to go yellow, then to red, all of a sudden the taxi accelerates through the intersection. And all of a sudden, I grab my brakes, clutch them, and my eyes close. And next thing I know, I'm on the ground. And I look up and I see a cab that's now gone through the intersection and stopped. There's another biker on the other side of the street yelling and screaming with the taxi driver. He says to the taxi driver, "Didn't you see the yellow light?" Taxi driver yells back, "I did. Yellow means faster." Who says that? Who does that? Mind you, now I'm up on my feet. I'm looking around and I'm thinking to myself, Is something broke? Am I okay? What's the deal? And miraculously, there's blood, but it's coming from my elbow that I used to break my fall, although I couldn't tell you for sure because all I remember is grasping the brakes and then literally the next time I open my eyes, I'm like up and just wondering like, am I okay? And it turns out bike was okay. I was physically fine, but definitely rattled, a bit in shock. And I would get up and ride on back home. And then the rest of the night last night, just couldn't get back into the groove of planning. I think just in shock. Almost getting hit by a car made me think of a lot of things. Made me actually also think back to when I was a little kid when I had a really bad bike accident and flew over the top of the handlebars. And it took me back to a memory that I'll never forget. And so all that being said, I'm good. Physically, for sure. Mentally was a little discombobulated yesterday and this morning. And at the same time, grateful to only have a bruised elbow to show for it all. And grateful to be here on this Labor Day weekend and back on the mic and back with you and doing it for the 87th time. Yeah. So that was my Saturday into Sunday. Hopefully you had a less eventful Saturday into Sunday. I will say, made me think about a couple things. Just what am I grateful for? What did I do wrong? One thing is, I now know to wait until lights turn red. Not to make assumptions about what other people will or won't do. But I'm looking forward to getting back on my bike, though. And it's actually one of the things that I think about when I was a kid, that things would happen and there was a bit of fearlessness and, you know, just get knocked down and dust yourself off and get back up again. And I'm going to reach back and get some of that kid energy for the next time when I get back on my bike. And then also, speaking of plans, I had a plan. I had a plan to talk about a bunch of stuff going on. And then Friday happened. So Saturday happened. That was one thing that threw all my plan. Then Friday happened. You know what happened Friday? A whole lot of stuff for the culture happened on Friday. Aretha Franklin's home going. Would love to hear if any of you watched it. And if so, if you did watch it, did you have any favorite parts? Did you have some parts that made you go, you know? Rest in peace to Aretha Franklin. Even as she was leaving us and we get to celebrate her on Friday, it was a whole bunch of showing up and showing out and stuff to comment on, say, do. We'll talk about that. Also, then if it wasn't enough with that, then this young lady and her sister were on display on Friday night.
Did you think you could beat her?
I know I can beat her.
You know you can beat her. Very confident.
I'm very confident.
And you say it so easily. Why?
Because I believe
it. Cut right here, if you don't mind. And let me tell you what she has said. She said it with so much confidence the first time. But you keep going on and on.
Listen, we can't keep interrupting. I mean, if you want...
Well, you got to understand that you're dealing with an image of a 14-year-old child. And this child going to be out there playing when your old ass and me going to be in the grave. When she says something, we done told you what's happening. You're dealing with a little black kid and let her be a kid. She done answered it with a lot of confidence. Leave that alone.
Tell him, Mr. Williams. And that's an old clip. Speaking of, I wish I was a kid again, maybe or maybe not. That was an old clip from a documentary about Venus and Serena Williams. And that was, I believe, Serena talking. And that was her dad in the background. And the confidence that they had. Remember as kids, some of the confidence we had. Hopefully, we still have a lot of that naivete, as they say. And just confidence that we can do almost anything and that it's going to work itself out. We'll talk about that too. And there's a bunch of other stuff. The underdog of the week. Gentleman down in Florida. And he's got folks really excited, actually. And I'm going to play a clip of someone who's a reaction to this gentleman down in Florida who's running for governor. And he got folks so excited. Listen to a reaction from someone about our underdog spotlight, which we'll get to at the end of the show.
This man started in fourth place, y'all. Fourth place. He was counted out by everyone, outspent by millions. There was a billionaire running against him, using his own money to fund the campaign. And he won, y'all. He won. What you're not gonna tell me is that my God does not promise everything in this world to you. All you have to do is believe. You can literally be whatever you wanna be. Whatever you wanna be, because my boy is about to be the next governor of Florida! Does anyone know how crazy that sounds? Like, it sounds amazingly crazy. It sounds like what you pray for when you grow up and you get these degrees and you hope that the people you know are coming with you. We are with you, Andrew. We are so proud of you. So proud of you.
It's a big deal. I have to be honest. I've been watching this race. I did not think Gillum could do it. I
thought but God.
Organization against him, and I was wrong.
Oh, you're wrong.
You're right. There's a former congresswoman. There's also the former.
Oh, shout out to Lauren Grant, founder and CEO of Access Granted, and a FAMU alum, and someone who lives in Harlem now, and good people. And that was her impromptu and spontaneous reaction to our underdog spotlight, which we'll get to later in the show, who was a gentleman named Andrew Gillum. And if you haven't heard about him, you'll hear about him before we get out of here today. Shout out to Dow checking in, saying, what's up, G? Hey, I say what's up right back to you. Happy Labor Day weekend. And we're going to go to the phone lines. I believe we have one of my favorite callers on the line. Name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah, talk to me. How you doing?
Listen, I'm so glad you're okay.
Thank you.
But did you go to the hospital?
I didn't.
Okay, you should get checked out. You should still get an x-ray.
That is fair. You are, I can't even disagree with you.
I know I'm right. Anyway, listen, in terms of people driving, I stopped by one day at the DMV to get a booklet for a cousin of mine. And I was sitting there waiting for someone else. They were going to meet me there. So it took me some time. They were late. And I asked this young lady, I said, is the test difficult? She said, I don't read that. She said, all you have to do is use your common sense. That's what's behind the wheel.
Ooh, well.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Well, as I think we all know, everyone has a different version of their common sense, and I had never heard anybody say this before. Literally, another guy across the street yells at the guy going, didn't you see the yellow light? And the taxi driver yells back, yellow means faster.
You're so lucky, because people are like, they're just driving away.
Yeah.
They don't even stop.
Yeah, and even though he made a comment that I've never quite heard before, he did stop. We yelled it out. I was just grateful that I was okay. And, I think, you know, driving's one of those things where you get a license once, and then we kind of never check in on you ever again. You can just keep driving for years, even if you don't know what you're doing. But I'm grateful to still be here and be back on the airwaves today. So, as always,
me too, Gregory.
Hey. So I'm a little thrown off today, but I'm here. I'm grateful, and I'll go enjoy a little bit of the sunshine once I get on out of here. But you always put a smile on my face.
Yeah, see, we can still talk to you. We don't have to have we can talk about sister, you know, having the homecoming, but we don't want that for you right now.
No, and I appreciate that.
We want to talk about it for her. It was her time. No, not at the expense of somebody else's stupidity. I'm just glad that you're here.
Hey, I appreciate you, Deborah. And just one thing though, before you go, did you watch any of it?
Most of it I did.
Okay.
And I thought that it was great, actually.
Yeah, I think folks got a little peek into how we do things, especially when it comes
to
homecoming.
But you know, I loved it. I really did. I thought it was very amusing because I've listened to a lot of other stations. And of course, it was like, it was heathenistic, the things that Black people were saying, because this was all about Trump yesterday. And Aretha would not have approved of that.
No.
So I kind of laughed at that because, you know, Aretha has been, you know, quite much of an activist.
Yes.
Okay. And I think that she would have approved of it.
Yeah.
Nobody jumped up and stepped on her, up on her casket. No one said anything disrespectful about her. Life goes on. And I think she wants her people to be free.
Yes, they do. Yes, she does.
Yeah. Okay. And so I'm not going to go into the little black dress because I'm tired of hearing about that.
I noticed I didn't go there. I just.
Because you know why? It's very interesting that no one talks about how beautiful Jennifer Hudson looked.
Yes, or Shirley Caesar, or Cicely Tyson at 90-something years
thank
old.
Thank you. Cicely Tyson, the hat was just like...
Take them.
It was, no, I'm serious. It was beautiful. I looked at that, and I was like, this was beautiful. I mean, I've seen her in hats unlike other people, so I'm used to seeing her being unlike other people. But I really, really, really like that. I thought it was beautiful.
Yes.
But, And I'm like, nobody mentioned how tasteful Jennifer looked.
Well, but guess what? That's why we got these phone lines in this show, because guess who just mentioned it?
Me.
Yes, indeed. Yes. I appreciate you, Deborah.
And thank you, Gregory. I'm so glad you're better. Hey. And go see about it.
No, I appreciate that. And thanks for sharing about also some of the good things that happened during the
run. And have something good to eat, something that you really, really like.
You're right. I'm going to treat myself after this afternoon.
Bye.
All right, now, Deborah, appreciate you. And that was Deborah from Manhattan sharing about a couple things. Telling me to be careful in these streets, which is true. Common sense is a little hard to find sometimes these days out here. For some people, yellow means go faster. For me, it meant slow down. But either way, I get to be more careful out there on my bike. And she says I should go get a little checkup. Shout out to Daryl, who says, don't go to the hospital, but he says instead go to urgent care for faster service and far cheaper costs than the ER. Thank you, Daryl, and thank you, Deborah, for looking out. And he says he does wish he were a kid again. We had a lot of fun growing up. No bills, no work, no worries. And I can relate to exactly what Daryl's saying, because Daryl and I go way back, known each other for over 30 years. It's a blessing to have people you've known in your life for a long, long time. It's cool to meet new people, you know, nothing wrong with new friends, but it's also good to have the balance of folks who've been there along the entire journey. Shout out to Daryl, the 215 showing up in the 212, and shout out to Deborah in the 212 showing up in the 212. I wonder, do you want to be a kid again? Maybe, maybe not. I do often think about this kind of complexity of, I don't necessarily want to be a kid again, but there are things that I remember about when I was young that I wish I still had or approached life in some of the same ways I did when I was a kid. And at the same time, too, there's some things I do now that I did as a kid that I'm like, I kind of wish I could outgrow that. It got me to thinking about lessons that kids, we can learn from kids that we can bring to life as adults. And it was from an article called 7 Lessons You Can Learn from Kids That Will Make You More Successful, Make You a More Successful Adult. I don't even want to go there just yet. But some of them were, it's okay to ask for help. That's one of the things I did as a kid a lot that sometimes I don't do as an adult. Allowing myself to be vulnerable and it helps us make friends. Definitely vulnerability, something I'm working on. Something else as kids we do that can help us as adults to acknowledge our emotions. Think about when you were a kid. When you wanted to cry, you cried. When you wanted to yell, you yelled. Now as an adult, sometimes we have these filters. And yeah, there's time and place for everything, but I still think there's an opportunity to let our emotions out a little bit more as adults, kind of like we did when we were a kid. Also, when I was a kid, the article talks about this fact that we didn't know everything, so we were very curious. We asked a lot of questions. Why is the sky blue? How did that get here? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And I think there's something cool about continuing to be a person that asks a lot of questions, even as an adult. This one really caught my attention. This one's number 6. As kids, we try new experiences before we're fully prepared. Speaking of bikes, think about when you were a kid. I got on a bike before I even knew if I could ride it or not. Like, oh, I'm just going to do it. And as underdogs, there's definitely opportunities for us to go out and just try things, even sometimes when we're not quite sure we can do it. But as kids, we would just go out and try. And lastly, unfamiliar people and ideas aren't scary. That can be good or bad, right? You can get yourself in trouble if you're too nice to strangers. But it is true that we had a little bit more just fearlessness. And I think as an adult, there's an opportunity for us to get all those things back. With that, let's talk a little bit about the underdog spotlight. because that's where I feel like going right now. Normally we save it to the end of the show, but it reminds me of when, speaking of being a kid, when I was a kid, I had certain dreams. I dreamed of being an astronaut. I dreamed of being a talk radio show host. Check. Took me a little while to get there, but I finally made that happen a few years ago. Grateful to be on the airwaves doing that now. I always wished that I was this like guy you would call to help fix things. Be like a turnaround guy. If something's not working out, call me and I'll help you figure it out. I just wanted to help people. And to a certain degree, I get to do that now. And one of my other dreams was to be mayor of Philadelphia. Yep, mayor of Philadelphia, my hometown, such a bloody love. And as I've gotten older, I don't think I want to be quite involved in politics that way. I think it's a little bit more freedom to be on the outside helping as opposed to the inside. But speaking of childhood dreams and mayors, there's a mayor who was in the news this past week. And talk about an underdog that we get to spotlight and someone who won against all odds. It's this gentleman right here.
Right here in the state of Florida tonight, we have shown the rest of the country that we can be the David in the situation where there's a Goliath. That you can be the non-millionaire. You can come from working class family. And you can make your way to the top.
Yeah, that's Andrew Gillum. If you haven't heard about him, I know you've heard about him now. He is the mayor. Speaking of childhood dreams, I wanted to be mayor of Philadelphia. And he's mayor of Tallahassee and just won a primary to eventually go up against a gentleman named DeSantis, who's a Republican and currently a representative in the House for the state of Florida. But yes, Gillum's going to be going up against DeSantis, and he might become the first black governor of Florida. Talk about childhood dreams coming true. Gillum is already mayor, and he might just become governor. And, you know, as underdogs, sometimes we go on a journey, and when you're little kids, people call you names, and you're playing in the sandbox, and you can't get along with each other, and people say you need to grow up. Need to be more mature. Don't be calling people names. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. All that type stuff. And then you get a little older, and then you find out some people, whether or not they wish they were kids again, they may still be acting like kids. As evidenced by this, Andrew Gillum's eventual opponent that he's going to be running up against for governor of Florida had this to say right after this momentous fun occasion. We potentially might have the first black governor of Florida, and his soon-to-be opponent said this.
He is an articulate spokesman for those far-left views, and he's a charismatic candidate. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state.
So what we not gonna do? You know, so, kids say the darndest things. Well, guess what? So do adults. That was DeSantis talking about Gillum, talking about he hopes that the potential first black governor of Florida doesn't monkey things up. There's monkeys running in for office now? But let's say I want to let the monkey thing slide. I don't. But if I do, you know, I've used the phrase monkey around, monkey things up. Like, you know, maybe I'll give him a pass. Maybe. Probably not. But let's say I do. Did you hear how he started off the statement, though?
He is an articulate spokesman for the.
What? When's the last time you heard? I'll give you a good example. Senator John McCain passed away. There were lots of people talking at his funeral. Do you recall anyone going, Joe Biden was so articulate talking about John McCain. George Bush cared for John McCain, and he was so articulate yesterday. Nancy Pelosi is a good leader of the House and very articulate. No, I don't think you've ever heard anybody describe any of those people as articulate. The fact that they can string together a sentence is kind of just assumed that they could do that. And that they can make some nouns and adverbs and adjectives match up. Underdogs, let me just give you one piece of advice or guidance. If we ever run into each other in these streets, and if you should happen to have a compliment for me or something good to say about the show or about some of the work I do, I have just one request. Don't call me articulate. Please call me something else. Andrew Gillum's ability to put together a sentence and my ability to put together a sentence should not be seen as some grand event. I'm going to wish Andrew luck, and I'm going to pray for Mr. DeSantis that he gets some, as Deborah would say, some common sense, because not everybody has common sense. And I don't like the tone of that brother being talked about around phrases like monkeys and being articulate. Shout out to Andrew Gillum, who's going to put up a good fight down there. Keith says, can't believe this was an accident. If it was, it is evidence he's not fit to govern, period. Context, period. Yeah, man, Keith, I'd like to think it was an accident, but he is a elected official. I don't know how old he is, but I'm going to assume he's over 40. He's been around. I got to believe that once a mistake, maybe if he just said one of those things, but to say both monkey up and also articulate, he knows better. He's got to. Or maybe he doesn't. As Deborah from Manhattan said earlier, common sense isn't so common. And shout out to Daryl, who just mentioned that. Yeah, we've known each other for a long time. Over 35 years. DeSantis, Republican House of Representatives, who's now the Republican nominee for governor of Florida, who's going to be going up against Andrew Gillum, who's this week's underdog spotlight, a dude who came out of nowhere, Mayor Tallahassee, and now potentially poised to be the first Black governor of Florida. And, you know, out here getting support from Bernie and some of the folks on the left. And some folks think this is going to be a matchup of Trump's Republican Party versus potentially Bernie's Republican Democratic Party. And so there's a lot of national attention on this local race. And Mr. DeSantis has some things to say, saying that he doesn't want Gillum to monkey things up. Also talking about how articulate he is. When's the last time someone said, you know that Hillary Clinton, she's articulate? Daryl says DeSantis wasn't acting like a kid. He was acting like someone who was saying something very racial. He says, he knows it, I know it, you know it, we know it, and I agree with you, Daryl. And I think you know the underdog that I'll be rooting for in the race to become governor of Florida. Be rooting for this gentleman right here.
Right here in the state of Florida tonight, we have shown the rest of the country that we can be the David in the situation where there's a Goliath. That you can be the non-millionaire, you can come from working class family, and you can make your way to the top.
Yes, sir. With that, we are out of time. Hour flies by. With that, I want to say a couple things. First, happy Labor Day weekend to all of you. And while it is important, the work that we all do, it's also equally important that we take some time to rest and recharge. And so I'm hopeful that each of you will take a moment to not labor and reconnect with yourself, with your family, your friends, and take a break And if you have a cookout, you know, let a brother know. Gregory at GregoryNeesmith.com. You know, y'all got a cookout. I want to be there. I like a good cookout. With that, thank you to all the folks listening on WATR 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem, whether it's on your radios, your laptops, your iPhones, however you're doing it. I appreciate you. This is the Voice of Harlem, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. Also, shout out to all the callers and folks commenting, Deborah, Keith, Daryl, and the folks who didn't comment. I still feel you, and I appreciate you. As always, there's a live show Sunday, which is now, and then there's a podcast Monday. So if you miss any of today's show, there'll be a podcast version of it on GregoryNeesmith.com or theGregoryNeesmithShow.com, or you can just search The Gregory Neesmith Show on places like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Shout out to Megan, my live show producer, and my podcast editor, Kayla, for making it happen. Let's continue to spread special stuff together. Let's work together. You can reach me at GregoryNeesmith.com, and yeah, we can figure it out. There's a lot of underdogs out there that want to get their swagger back in business and in life, and I'm all for it. With that, we've come to the end of the show, and you know how I'm going to end it. I'm going to end it with my favorite quote. And that favorite quote is this. But before I say it, one last thing. I got a newsletter that I just created last week. So if you go to GregoryNeesmith.com, click the subscribe button, and then you get updates about content, about new events, and I'm going to be planning some live events, a whole bunch of stuff coming. So just sign up for it, and then I'll keep you in the loop, because there's stuff that happens outside of just Sundays. With that, I'm going to leave you with my favorite quote. Are you going to say it along with me? I hope you say it along with me. Underdogs. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace. One.